طوب. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we hear today how Krishna describes his own form. He said, O Shiva, I could understand your desire. That is why I have now come before your eyes. I think it's very important that we hear about the original form of Krishna, so that we can hold this form in our mind and surrender in our mind to this form. So he says, Krishna says, now you can see my original form, a form beyond the world of matter, a form filled with intense and pure love, a form eternal and filled with knowledge and bliss. O sinless one, the Upanishads, which form the crown of all the Vedas, say that I am formless, without qualities, all-pervading, inactive, and greater than the greatest. Now Krishna describes why the Upanishad describe him as the opposite from what we find in the material world, that is formless, without qualities, all-pervading, and so on. They say, I have qualities, but of all my qualities, not a single one is made of matter. My qualities are all limitless and eternal. No one can understand them perfectly or completely. That is why the Upanishads say, I have no qualities. O Shiva, my form cannot be seen by material eyes. That is why the Vedas say, I am formless. With a single fragment of consciousness, I pervade everything. That is why the philosophers think, I am the formless Brahman. My actions have nothing to do with the world of matter. That is why the philosophers say, I am inactive. It's so simple and nice how Krishna describes why the Upanishad describe him as formless. Because he says I'm all pervading, and so what type of form is all pervading and everywhere? And they say I'm inactive because all my actions have nothing to do with the world of matter. This is why it gets a little bit tricky when we hear about the very confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna. If we are not really pure, we will make a great mistake by attributing the qualities which we find in this world in the relationship between the opposite sexes, that we attribute them to Radha and Krishna. That is actually wrong, because there is not a whiff of sense gratification, or let me say selfishness, in there. Filled with the modes of material nature, the demigods, who are my parts and parcels, create, maintain, and destroy the material universes. O Shiva, I myself do not create, maintain, or destroy them. O Shiva, O humble and respectful one, now Krishna describes, he has nothing to do with the world, but he describes now what is his main concern, in what realm he is very active, of which issue really touches him. O Shiva, humble and respectful one, I am overcome with love for the gopis. I do not know anything else. I do not even know my own self. Please understand the truth of my beloved, the Supreme Goddess Sri Radha. I enjoy pastimes with her eternally. She has conquered me with her love. Now Krishna speaks the highest truth. He speaks about his being Gopi Raman or Radha Raman. O Shiva, look here. See how hundreds and thousands of her friends surround us. As I am eternal, so are they also. We heard Krishna laughed and made the gopis laugh. They were just laughing, just very beautifully laughing there. My gopa friends, my parents, the cows in this land named Vrindavan are all eternal. They are spiritual, blissful and sweet like nectar. Know that my Vrindavan is filled with bliss. This moment Madhva Muni and Kishori will say, let's go to Vrindavan. One who enters it never again enters the world of birth and death. One who, after entering my Vrindavan forest, leaves Vrindavan and goes somewhere else, is a great fool. O Shiva, it is as if he killed his own soul. Of this there is no doubt. Wow. There is actually a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur who said, I attained Vrindavan and then Maya threw a noose around my neck and pulled me out of Vrindavan again. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? This puts a great question to our life. Let's look at it a little later. Are you prepared? Krishna says, I myself never take even a single step out of Vrindavan. Why do my devotees leave Vrindavan? Accompanied by Sri Radha, I stay here eternally. Thus I have told you everything, O Shiva. Speak what is in your heart. What more do you wish to hear? So obviously, when a person comes to Vrindavan, a person like us, we have to ask the question, has he really gone to Vrindavan? Or has he gone? Or where has he gone? We hear that Vrindavan, like all the dhams, like Jagannath Puri Dham, are not creations of the material world. They are in the material world. In this they resemble the super soul who is in the body, who is totally transcendental, and although being there in the body, does not lose his transcendental existence. Although he's surrounded by the five material elements, he himself is neither touched nor influenced by them. In the same way, Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri Dham is really an eternal place. This we can see in the narration of Markandeya Rishi, who had the blessings to live an almost eternal life, a very long life, and who saw the destruction of this universe. So while he was witnessing the destruction, he actually could see the ocean of destruction filling everything up and lifting him and throwing him into different directions, like the waves of an ocean who throw a swimmer into different directions. He was sometimes going here, sometimes there, but he could not die. He was freezing and everything. So then, as he was in the great ocean of destruction, he saw in the distance, all of a sudden, a glowing banyan tree. And as he came closer, he saw Jagannath Puri, totally beyond the modes of material nature and totally beyond the destruction which was going on around him. So this is in the Bhagavatam, and tells us how the holy Dham is transcendental to the movements of the elements. So when we come to Vrindavan, let me say like this: to Vrindavan, only someone who's extremely pure and transcendental can go there. Just like entering or seeing the super soul in this body is only possible for a person who's totally purified in his consciousness. So in the same way, to see Vrindavan is actually possible only for a pure soul. We see the pigstool and the open sewage systems at Cairns, and we are so where are we when we visit Vrindavan with an impure consciousness? Well, by the arrangements of the Lord, we come to a covering of Vrindavan, which is the Vrindavan which can be perceived by the senses. There's a Sanskrit word, I believe it's the Drishta Dham, the Dham which we can see with our eyes. Now the interesting thing is, although this Dham, which we can see with our material eyes, is something like a covering of the real Dham, it still has something of the original Dham. Just like if I take a glove and pull it over my hand, the glove will also move like my hand. So what the Vrindavan which we can see has is, we feel it's just so blissful, especially when we walk through Vrindavan and if we stay in Vrindavan. It has something of the spiritual Vrindavan, because otherwise it could not purify impure souls. If it would be just a covering of Maya, if it would be just material elements. But it's not yet the Vrindavan. In Jaivadham, there is one narration of a soul called, of a person called Vijay Kumar, who one day walks towards Gopinath, Radha Gopinath. And as he walks, he sees the ocean and the forest on the ocean transform into the real Dham. And he sees it as Vrindavan. It is filled with a transcendent glow. The trees seem to live as conscious living beings. And he gets so touched by the real perception, not the covering of Jagannath Puri, that he faints, pang. And when he faints, he looks around, where is it? And it's gone. And then he quickly runs home and very sad goes to bed. Because he really is he wants to see the real thing. So when you see the real Vrindavan and then you leave to the material world, you are a great fool. But if you go to the Vrindavan which you can see and go, then you're not such a fool, because you understand maybe it's too early for you to live all day and all night and the rest of your life in Vrindavan. Maybe you must first still purify yourself and do some duties in this world, like bringing a child to the world, or by like doing a particular service, Vedic university, and pleasing the spiritual master like this. Now, after Lord Shiva has heard about Krishna and has heard about Krishna's total occupation, preoccupation with the goddess Sri Radha and her gopi friends and all the people in Vrindavan, after Krishna has, you know, more or less revealed his mind, I love Vrindavan, I cannot leave it, not even for a step. He says, as far as I'm concerned, I have told you everything. Is there anything you want to know more? And then Lord Shiva very lovingly asked, oh best, and then he says to Lord Krishna, yes, I have one more question. How can one attain you? Please tell me the way. It's a wonderful question. And we will hear Krishna's answer tomorrow. Is it all right? Yeah, I mean, I also don't want to stop. Let's see what is the time. The Indian time factor. Madhva Muni has his mobile phone. What?
9 o'clock.
That, my dear audience, wherever you are, 9 o'clock. Jagannath Puri means, where is our mosquito tent and our cushion. So we will go to bed now. You may go to bed at 2 o'clock and suffer untold miseries, but we go at 9 o'clock or 9:30 to bed. Actually, I still have to chant a little bit. Jai Sri Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Jai Sri Radhe Shyam. Such a wonderful